Welcome to the Savvy Dentist Podcast with Dr. Jesse Green, the show where great dentistry meets great business. Listen in each week as we bring you an inspiring person who will share their story, ideas, and business techniques to help you create a practice and a life you love. And now introducing your host, Dr. Jesse Green.
Hi everyone, Jesse Green here. Welcome back to SavvyDentist.com and to the Savvy Dentist Podcast, the show where great dentistry meets great business. Those of us in practice understand the importance that content marketing has in an effective marketing strategy. Great content allows you to position your practice as the practice of choice for your patients and prospective patients. By communicating in a way that patients resonate with, it allows you to explain your philosophy of care while at the same time making sure the patients feel that you get them, which means that they'll come to you ahead of going to another practice. Equally, we understand that great content marketing requires effort, and those that do engage with content marketing know the pressures that come about when you're trying to produce high-quality content week in, week out. My guest today, Makushla Collins, is an expert content marketer, and she's really good at helping other people lift their content marketing game as well. What I really like about Makushla is she has an ability to take a technical subject and really humanize it so that it resonates with a lay audience. And what I mean by that is she can take complex matters and make them simple, make them understandable, and make them resonate. In our conversation, we cover a lot of areas. Makushla outlines the common failings that people make with their content marketing and how to fix them. And in addition to that, she shows us some really useful tips and tricks to take your content marketing to the next level. So, as always, I'm going to suggest that you have a pen and paper handy because she shares some absolute pearls of wisdom that I know that if you apply to your practice, you'll really lift your content marketing so it's much more effective and therefore your marketing overall is much more effective as well. Now, on another side note, I'd like to let you know about the Savvy Dentist Scaling Summit. We're super excited about this summit. It's a two-day event where we're going to be talking about how to scale your practice. In other words, how to transition from being an owner-operator where you're working as a dentist by day, running the business by night, to having a fully leveraged business that gives you much more financial freedom as well as time freedom. We cover a lot of areas over those 2 days. We've got some amazing speakers. We have Steve Waugh, the former Australian cricket captain, come in to talk about leadership, the skills that he used to take a team of champions and turn them into a champion team. We're going to be covering culture. We're going to be covering how to create a self-managing team. We're going to be talking about strategy. We're going to be talking about how to manage risk. We're going to be talking about the assets and the scalable infrastructure you need, as well as how to get stuff done effectively. So we've got a heap of things that we're going to be covering during the Scaling Summit. And if you want to find out more about the Scaling Summit, I'd really encourage you to head across to scalingsummit.com. And at that site, you'll find out a heap of details about the event, and you can grab yourself a ticket there as well if you'd like to. But for now, let's get back to our conversation with Makushla. As always, as I said, have a pen and paper. There's lots of pearls of wisdom coming your way. Here's Makushla. Makushla Collins, thank you so much for joining us on the Savvy Dentist Podcast. How are you today, my friend?
Very well, thank you, Jesse. Thank you for having me.
Oh, look, it's a pleasure. I've been looking forward to having this chat on the podcast for a long time because we get to chat a lot offline, but we haven't had the opportunity to record these chats, so it's great to have you here. Makushla, for the benefit of our audience, you know, the work you do is in writing and helping people create great content that converts and, of course, tell stories and so on. You've got incredible expertise in that space. How did you come to find yourself in that line of work?
Yeah, thanks, Jesse. It's a really good question. And I can start by saying that, you know, my background is actually in I did an undergraduate degree in languages, which, you know, I really thought was probably pretty useless. But I realized once I moved into the consulting space and then later into business development in the mining sector, I was working with a lot of very technical people, so engineers and scientists. And what I discovered is that they feel very uncomfortable, or it's not necessarily their strong suit to talk to clients or to go out to the market, because they immediately go into the technical side of things and often miss things like listening to what the client actually needs. And I found that because I didn't have that filter of that highly technical, at least not in that area, I was able to, you know, I really had to listen to people. I really had to understand what was important to them so that I could take the opportunity back to the business and say, hey, you know, I think this is what the client needs. I think this is how we can reframe it and go back to them. And it just came through, you know, in that business development space, obviously, too, there's a lot of, there's a need for writing and communicating. And so I just found that I became more proficient at that and ended up working on bigger proposals and bigger opportunities. And so, you know, I found that it was the same whether you're working on a small opportunity or a large one. You know, you really have to understand your market and then learn to communicate with them in a way that they understand and that shows that you care. And so what I'm doing now and what I've been doing over the last few years is working with small business owners who are technical people, because I think that we're all technical in what we do, whether you're a hairdresser or you're a specialist or a dentist, it doesn't really matter. You're still technical in your area, and it's upon us to understand what's important to our audience and then communicate to them in a way that makes sense to them, but is also without losing the integrity of our message or what it is that we do.
Yeah, it's really interesting, isn't it? Because you're absolutely right, for technical types of people, and dentists definitely fit into that. We tend to slip into jargon. We assume certain levels of knowledge within the audience that may or may not hold true, and all those other sorts of things. So before we get into the nuts and bolts of what great communication looks like, how to create it really well, you know, the content space in terms of blog writing, creating content for marketing, creating content for a variety of different purposes, why do you think content is kind of the new buzzword around? It's been around for a while, but why is it so important?
Well, I think if I was to answer that honestly, I really think it's because it's the way that people are learning, and it's, you know, there's information, I guess, and there's wisdom. So we can use our content, our business content, to, you know, to share what we know and to connect. And, you know, content, obviously, we're talking about it today about written content, but really content is much more than that. It encompasses visual content now. It encompasses audio content as well. So it's not just one thing anymore. And it's so much a part of doing business that we really have to, I feel that it's important to do the same sort of thinking that you would do around your content as you would for, you know, other important aspects of your business, you know, whether it's, you know, financial or otherwise.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think content for a lot of people becomes something that's a bit of a, what's the word I'm trying to find? It's deserted me the last minute, but it's become it's on the list of things to do.
Well, 100%. It's on the to-do list, and it's very hard when we're trying to do all these other things to manage, you know, it's another thing to manage. So I guess on that, I encourage people to think about where they sit on the content creation spectrum or the writing spectrum. You know, if you feel that you're a competent writer, then, you know, maybe, and you can dedicate the time to it amongst all the other things, then it's, you know, it's feasible for you to do that. However, if it's not your thing and you don't feel confident and it's just too hard, I liken it, then probably you're not the person to do it. And I think being honest about that is a really good place to start. So for me, for example, you know, I don't look after my teeth myself. I go to the dentist to have my teeth cleaned. I don't do my own bookkeeping. I do elements of it, but of course I pass that on to somebody else who can look after it. Same with my accounting. So it's a similar sort of thing. We have to integrate it into, you know, the way that we manage our business. It's just another area.
Yeah, and ultimately we're trying to create thought leadership in a space and so on and so forth. So where in that process do you think that people come unstuck mostly? What are the common mistakes that you see in your work people making?
Yeah, I think that's another great question, Jesse. And I think it starts with not really making it a priority or even understanding the value of it. So if you're going to be communicating with your market, you want to do it in a, like, use the language and the voice and the tone that is going to reflect who you are. Now, you know, a technical person listening to this might think, well, what does that even mean? So what it means is that, I can give you the example. If I write something for you and you read it and you say, that doesn't sound like me. So you know that it doesn't sound like you. So somewhere in you, you do actually know, because people say, I don't really know what that means. But if I write for you and it's not right, you can tell me it's not right.
Exactly.
So I think it's going back to first principles and saying, well, getting very clear about who, you know, what your voice is, what meaningful messages do you want to share with people? And, you know, how are you going to communicate that to your market without losing the integrity? So if I'm working with somebody, I would take them through that process. And most people, they'll say, oh, you know, they just want to get in and get the content done. So it's really important work up front. And that actually, it creates this wonderful foundation for how you prepare all your other content. Because you're not, I tell people, it's like, you know, digging the ditches for the house. It's not even laying the foundation. It's just digging the ditches for the house so that we can, everything we do after that is then building upon, you know, it's building upon that foundation so that these wonderful threads go through everything that you've produced. So you're not thinking, okay, I have to do my website now, so I'm going to do that a certain way. Now I need some, you know, I need a reactivation campaign, so I'm going to write that a certain way. You know, now I need a newsletter done and it's going to be done in another way. No, we have the same messages. We have the same threads that pass the way through it. And it's really who you are, so that you become quite confident then about, it's kind of like that's sorted. You don't have to rethink it every time you go to produce something.
Yeah, yeah, totally. I love that. I wanted to ask you around this because there'll be someone listening here going, what do you mean content gets written for you? Don't I have to write everything myself? So the whole concept of having someone professional like yourself take charge of that for them might be a foreign concept, because I think there'll be some people who sit down at their desk with a blank page and go, I've got to write a blog. Oh God, what am I going to write about? But what I'm hearing you say is, if you've got some planning and some strategy up front, what, you know, what you're, you know, trying to achieve with this content, what are the key points you're trying to convey consistently over time? Yeah, that's the kind of groundwork you're talking about, right? And who's my market?
Definitely. You definitely need to do that. I know you do this in your programs, Jesse, where you get people to define who their ideal, you know, patient or who their ideal customer is. And so I think, you know, that's part of the equation. There's like these elements that, or cogs that all sit into this machine, I suppose, and you need to address each of them a lot, you know, as part of that. And it's great actually working with people who have been part of, you know, Savvy Dentists and so on, because they can immediately say to me, well, hey, I've already done this work on who my ideal customer is. And we might refine that a little bit, but sure, it's a great place to start. But at the same time, we need to draw out from the person or the business owners, you know, who they are and what got them to their, you know, to this point. So there's always, you know, a backstory to things. And I think it's vital to share that with your audience or with your patients, you know, in an appropriate way. And so we start to bring in these little elements that allow people to, they start to feel a little bit more confident with, they don't have to write everything, but they can provide the elements so that it's really them. And unless I do that exercise with people, I don't feel I can really write for them. I can't write for them properly. I'm not serving them well,
yeah,
if that makes sense.
Yeah, and totally, because there'll be some people who will be listening going, oh, my God, you know, if I get someone to write for me, it's going to sound weird, it's going to sound artificial, and I don't feel like I'm being, what's the word, it might come across as fraudulent. But it's absolutely not. If you work with a great content writer like Makushla, who takes you through that exercise, so you get to know yourself, you get to know your voice, know the phrases that you use, create a lexicon of words that, you know, you commonly use, or and all those other backstories that she's spoken about, you can actually have someone write for you very authentically and be very happy and content that you're being represented really well off the page. And I think that's a key.
Yes. And I think as part of that process too, there's a need for, you know, having a sound review process in place, as also that people aren't, you know, that of course there is content that, and we've all read it and we've all seen it, you know, that is just, it's fluffy and, you know, it's trite. It's just produced for the sake of producing content. I call it like as a content conveyor belt. And you kind of get on this content conveyor belt and you think, I've got to produce stuff. I need social media posts. I need blogs. I need whatever it is. And actually, if you take that time up front and you work out what you do really need, it just, it can take, it provides relief for a start and it helps to focus your efforts. And I think when you start to get become more familiar with the process, obviously you become more confident. So I can think of a number of people, let's say dentists that I have worked with, who initially they're like, well, you know, how does this work? So we've worked out a system that works for that particular person. So maybe they initially they will provide, you know, a lot of dry information. I'll call it dry information for me, because, you know, for a dentist, it might be really exciting writing about root canal therapy. But, you know, for me, I'm thinking, oh my gosh, it sounds scary, or I wouldn't like to go through that process. But, and I learned this from working with the engineers, because I would say to the engineers, you know, I'd have to write a case study about a project. And I would say, right, so, you know, give me some information about the project. And they would literally come back with a list of bullet points of project equipment, you know, big things that they put on mine sites. And I'd say to them, like, what happened on the project? You know, what went well? What didn't go well? You know, where did we make some savings? You know, what issues were there around the team? And then they start to tell me the story. Yeah. So we can actually share the same information, but we can tell it in a really interesting way. And it's still got that integrity that you feel confident with. So we would do that with, say, a root canal treatment. So I can think of, you know, I would say, right, tell me about, because there's only so many ways you can write about root canal treatment.
Totally, yep.
However, if you have a patient or a number of patients who've had, you've dealt with patients on a, you know, recently who've had this situation, and you can say, well, okay, what was the backstory to that patient? And then the dentist will tell me, oh, well, you know, they had this, or they were referred by somebody and they, and, you know, they had this issue for a long time, and then we were able to fix it with this and this, and then they went away and they felt really happy. I'm simplifying it, but that's actually the story. We want to tell them, you know, yes, of course, they will assume that you have a level of technical expertise that you can do the work. But what we want to do is build a relationship and a connection between you and your market. And you do that by personalizing it and by humanizing it and bringing out your own voice.
Yeah, I love that. So again, stories that connect, right? It's been going on for millennia, stories. You know, information's been handed down by stories for, you know, since time began. And so what I'm really understanding here is we can take the technical information, wrap it into a story. A, you're going to convey the information. B, you're going to, you know, create a relationship. And C, you're going to have that connection piece where people relate to you and go, okay, well, you know, that dude, Jesse, hopefully seems like a nice guy and he knows what he's doing. I'll go and see him. And that's really what we're trying to achieve, right?
Definitely. They will relate to that story because, you know, we talk about, and I talk about this with some of the people that I work with, you know, people have, they have their concerns about going to the dentist. And, you know, I think it's good to name those things because, well, instead of pretending that it doesn't actually exist, let's get it out on the table. I encourage people to say, let's get whatever the elephant is for you in your business, let's get it out on the table and say, right, this is the issue, but this is how we address the issue. We make you feel, you know, we ensure that you know, you feel comfortable, and we'll even hold your hand if we need to, you know, like it's that kind of communication that sort of really becomes very relatable. You want people to go to your website or when they, you know, because I've done scripts for people as well. So you want them when they call on the phone or when whatever connection point they've got with you, they're feeling that I can relate to this person. They understand me. They get me.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. So you alluded to the fact earlier that there are different types of written content, and we are primarily focusing on written content today. We spoke a bit about blogs. We spoke a bit about, you know, emails, social posts, you know, website copy and all those sorts of things. Can you just walk me through some of the nuances around that different type of copy? Because again, you know, there's copy for different purposes. What are the, I guess, the key features or one or two key or salient points that might be something to consider if someone's writing an email versus writing website copy versus writing a blog?
Yes. Okay. So if we're writing, a lot of times I'm starting with their website, and I think it's a great place to start because you get to be very clear about what you do and how you do it, for, you know, the services that you provide. So there are places on your website where you will have more factual information, but there are also places on your website where you can be very personal. And those places, I think, really should be on your homepage, in your about section, you know, our story, how we do things, or our approach to things, you know, our team. So on those pages, we make them, you know, more personal. But to reflect who you are, if you're a more, you know, serious kind of person, we bring that tone through. But if you're, you know, if it's a more fun kind of practice, then we also want to reflect that as well. On the other pages where we're talking about the different services, we explain what those services are, and we need to do that from an SEO perspective because we want you to be found when people are searching.
Yep.
But also on those pages, we can still integrate a little bit of that personalization. We can say, you know, if you have any concerns about XYZ, you know, all you need to do is come in and talk to us. So we're still bringing that flavor in, but we're still providing the information. So it's factual, but also it's also personal. When we're doing an email, let's say it's an email campaign, we want to have, you know, an appropriate tone for that. So in a lot of cases, say in dentistry, we're talking about where maybe we're reactivating or it's a new patient, so we're sending them information. So we need it to be clear, you know, very, very clear. So, you know, nicely laid out. We're sharing the information that they need to receive, but also we're saying, you know, hey, we're still giving that personal touch to it as well. And I guess in terms of blogs, we've kind of covered that, I think, by saying, you know, if you've got a topic, like a process that I find works very well is I will say to the client, you know, let's choose, like, they'll choose the topic and then they'll go and do a recording on it, because often they'll find it very easy to, you know, make a recording and they can share it with me, say in Dropbox, and then I can get the transcript of that. And then I can, because I know that, I know the way that they need to communicate, I will integrate the personalization to the driest sort of content. And yeah, so I think it needs to be from a blog perspective, you need to provide, you know, good information that helps people to make decisions and to build the relationship. So,
okay.
You know, you can have, you know, they're shorter sentences. You want to have subheadings in there. So I don't know if I'm getting into too much.
No, this is actually, I was going to go down this path. And tell us a bit about the structure of a blog, because I think the idea of having a readable blog is key versus a blog that's, you know, bazillion words on a page where people's eyes glaze over.
Well, it's okay if it's a bazillion words, but you've got to be answering, always want to be solving a problem.
Yeah.
You know, people, that's key. So often in your heading, you might want to, I like to use questions. So, you know, have you ever experienced such and such? So that might be your keyword. And, you know, here are seven things you should learn about or know about it, or the seven things you need to know about it, or five things. And then that gives you a structure already to break up your blog. So you would have a nice introductory paragraph that states what the problem is, and then you provide the solution. And then, you know, at the bottom of the blog, you really want to have something that says, hey, you know, where the team at, you know, the team at Savvy Dentist can help you with XYZ. We've got experience in doing these particular things. Yep. And so you've got that, you're tying it back in. It's just kind of like a nice loop to round it out. So that should, you know, probably change. You should have a few of those little endings that you can put onto at the bottom of your blog so that people can see, oh yeah, it's not just ending and there's nowhere for them to go kind of thing. There might be some additional links, or, you know, get in touch, make inquiry, go to this download.
I think that's really key, because here's what I find as well. You spoke about the content conveyor belt earlier. There's got to be content with a purpose behind it. Writing blogs for the sake of writing blogs is really, or to me at least, a little bit pointless. There's got to be a purpose there. So, ladies and gents, if you've just tuned in, I'm having a conversation with Makushla Collins, and she's an expert when it comes to creating, you know, content that converts. And she's talking about having a call to action at the end of a piece of writing. And I just can't emphasize the importance of that strongly enough, because otherwise you can spend a lot of time and effort and not get the rewards from that. So, Makushla, I really, really want to just, you know, highlight, boldface, underline, whatever it is we need to do to make that point strong for everyone.
And I think too, Jesse, like when you approach a blog, I like to encourage people to say, you know, what are your patients talking to you about? Like, what problem are they bringing to you? Like, maybe you've had 2 weeks and you've had, you know, six people come in with the same issue. That's the thing to write about.
Yeah.
You can obviously do a content plan. That's great. And the content plan might be as high level as, okay, I'm going to do six blogs this year. You know, if 12 is too many, don't stress about it. Rather focus on producing, you know, six quality blogs that have, you know, that might be 1,000 words or 1,500 words, but still, you know, have really meaningful information in there so that you're starting to build this lovely library of information that you are sharing with people. And, you know, once you've got that, you know, that set in your mind, then, and you've got this topic that comes up, then you can say, right, well, you can easily build a blog around something that six people have come in and talked to you. I won't be able to shut you up. I'm sure if that's the case. And
totally.
But then the other part of it is that, you know, be in that, we want to bring in the keywords. So if people asking you about it or mentioning it to you in the practice, then probably there are going to be some searches going on out there in, you know, the ether. So, you know, connect with your SEO person and say, hey, this has come up. What other keywords are related to this? So you're not just writing purely in a vacuum. You're bringing, you know, that it's a little bit more robust because obviously you want to be coming up in searches for that particular thing. Then, so you've got that nice overlap. And then the other part of it is we want to bring in your personality. So we've got the technical information or the problem that we're trying to solve. We've got that SEO part, and then we've got your personality and your business personality that's coming through. So all of those pieces come together and they make this really meaningful piece of content that you don't just write once and not use. You know, in your, for example, in your new patient email or correspondence, you can have, you know, you can have three links to your dear, you know, Mary Jo. Here's, you know, thanks, you know, have all of that stuff in there. But you can also say, look, you know, to learn a little bit more about how we do things here at our dental practice, you know, click on three of our most popular blogs and they can just be three blogs that you've produced and have really great information about challenges that are facing everyday patients. Wow. So you're not just using it once, and commit to reposting. So that it's not just, you know, I wrote this blog, you know, 2 years ago and it's never
seen the light of day since. Yeah. There's a couple of threads there, Mukesh. There's a couple of really interesting threads I'd like to just pull apart for a moment, because I think there's some gold there that we can just mine a little bit. I wanted to ask you a little bit about, we spoke about the structure of a blog, you know, good headlines, subheadings and so on. Just really quickly, this is perhaps a little bit tactical, but what role do you see infographics or images having in amongst all of that?
I love infographics. I love the way that, you know, you bring a visual, because we're not all, you know, people who like to read. A lot of people are visual.
Yep.
And I think infographics are a great way to, you know, it's another great way to tell a story and to capture information very succinctly.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you can do that, by all means do it. And there are, you know, tools that we can use. You know, some people might be working with a graphic designer and you can maybe scribble something down quickly, or, you know, there's things like Canva or whatever.
So the thing I like about infographics is they're great for processes as well, or stages, step one, step two, step three. So if you've got a, you know, root canal blog, you can talk about, you know, the different stages and put it in infographic as well, or, you know, whatever.
Yeah, or an implant, or, you know, if you, you know, Invisalign treatment, any of those things where you can bring in an infographic. And I think it's you mentioned it right at the start, Jesse. As technical people, we assume that the person that we're talking to, our patient or our customer, knows what we know, but they actually don't.
No, not at all.
We need to assume that they don't, and then, you know, rather give them too much, you know, to work with than not enough.
Yeah.
So that they feel that you understand them and that you care about them. Because I know, I just think back to, for example, when my son had his braces, you know, that treatment started, you know, 4 years ago. But at the start of that, I had no idea. I was just, they said, you know, your son needs braces. And I'm like, okay, what do we do now?
Yeah.
You kind of launch into the whole process. And it's only now, from having worked with people like yourself and, you know, other, you know, people in dentistry, that I've, now I understand what's going on. So, you know, I think it's very easy to just make that assumption and just not really get where your customer is coming from.
Totally. Look, while we're on the topic of assumptions, and so that we don't make one, I just want to come back to the SEO that you spoke about and keywords and all the rest of it, because I do want to talk I want to get a little bit geeky just for a second and talk about some on-page SEO sorts of things, because when you work with a writer like yourself, typically, you know, the client would receive the article, but there'd also be things like descriptions and tags and, you know, keywords and so on and so forth. So I'm just wondering, you know, for people who are not familiar with that, could you tell us from a writer's point of view what you would deliver apart from the article, or what key things from an SEO perspective are included in the article, you know, meta descriptions and, you know, all that sort of jazz?
So what I try to do, what I do when I'm working with people, a lot of the people that I do currently work with have an SEO consultant.
Mm-hmm.
So there's, as I said, there's that overlap. So we can say, you know, we want to write a blog around root canal, but what are the searches that are coming up? So at that
yep.
point is when we really want to go back to the SEO person and say, right, we're doing a blog on this. What are the keywords, the other keywords that, you know, are relevant?
Yep.
Then the SEO person can provide that, and we can as I'm writing, I can write with that awareness that those keywords need to go in there. Now, when I'm doing
So sorry to interrupt you. Keyword density. Is there any thoughts around keyword density?
You know, people, there's arguments around what it varies to, so like 3% or 7%.
Yeah.
So you don't want to overdo it.
No.
And I think, you know, most people have got their, you know, at the back end, they have the, you know, the tools that allow them to work that out. And so when it gets uploaded, it's very easy to tweak that so that it's correct. Either take out, you know, if you have too many references, take it out, or if there's not enough, integrate it back in. So
yep.
I think it's good to have the awareness when you're writing, but not be contained by that, because otherwise it starts to sound artificial and
trite. Totally. Yeah.
You definitely don't want to go there. Now, as I at the in my blogs when I'm writing them up, I have a format that I stick to, and it's, you know, where I set up, you know, what outlining what the keywords. So the person who's uploading, because it's not necessarily going to be me. So the person who's uploading can see, okay, these are the keywords. This is what I'm suggesting for the SEO title.
Mm-hmm.
This is what I'm suggesting for the meta description and the tags. So, you know, I will make my suggestions about what those things should be. However, it's the SEO person who really needs to come in and finesse that.
Mm-hmm.
So I will always do a first cut of it.
Yep.
But it's really up to that other person to come in and to refine it so that it's right.
Yeah, lovely. All right. So I just want to change gear for a second, because, and I want to come back to one of the other threads that we spoke about a moment ago that I wanted to, you know, pull on the thread and see where it leads us. Early in the conversation, you spoke about having the personality revealed in the content, and you specifically mentioned business personality. And I'm curious to understand, or to ask you, whether you think there's a difference between business personality and personal personality. And if so, where does one begin and end, and how much of yourselves do you reveal, and so on and so forth?
So I think my strong feeling, I probably haven't been asked this question before, but my strong feeling based on my experience is that there's a very big overlap between personality and the person. And because we're dealing with businesses that are quite, you know, we're not dealing with multinationals here. We're dealing with people who are heavily invested in their business. And I don't mean financially. I mean, it's their life. It's a big part of their life.
Yeah.
So how can your personality not, you know, come out in that process?
I get it. Yeah.
So I feel that's, and I guess it's one of the reasons that I encourage people to include their backstory as part of, as one story that they share with people. Now, you talked about, you know, how much do you share? Well, so one of the questions I always ask people is in the process that I take them through is, you know, how did you get to this point, or how did you come to dentistry, for example? And if the person says to me, oh, you know, I got the, well, you know, back in our day, it was the TE score, but, you know, I got the OP or whatever. And so, or my dad was a doctor or a dentist. And so I became a dentist. So I never accept that as the answer, because I just know that there's more to it.
Yeah, totally.
And so I say, that's not good enough. You need to tell me more. So that's my job, is to squeeze people a little bit too, because I want them to start to open up a little bit and start to learn that, you know, that side of communication, to bring that warmth to it. And there will always be a story. You know, I've heard some really remarkable stories about, you know, how people got to what they're doing. And it's that story that, you know, in so many instances, which has been there, you know, which demonstrates the care that they have for their patients. Yeah. I just don't think you can separate the two. No. So for me, it has to be done. But, you know, as far as sharing appropriately, I don't think we need to, like, if it's a business, obviously we don't want to be taking photos of our feet and, you know, our food. It's really, you know, stuff that's appropriate to what you're doing. You know, maybe it's something, there's a new piece of equipment, and so you've got the team standing around the new piece of equipment, or it's, and the significance of that for patients. Mm, so not just taking the photo, but then saying, hey, this is what it means. Always answering that question, you know, what it means for the client, you know, what's in it for them.
Yeah, totally. It's really interesting because, you know, there's certainly, you know, the whole personal brand is a big thing these days. But I also find that some people like to try and hide behind the practice brand. And I think you've got to step out from behind that and share a bit of yourself. If you want to have that personal connection, which we spoke about earlier, and dentistry, like all businesses, but particularly dentistry, is very personal in nature. You've got to be able to step out and share, I believe, share a bit of yourself anyway.
Definitely. And I think back, Jesse, to the dentist that, like my family dentist that we had for 100 years, you know, and it's just that, you know, it's back in Brisbane in the TNG building where the dentists and specialists were.
Yeah, tooth and gum building, that is. Did you know?
Sorry?
The tooth and gum building.
Yeah, that's right. And, I mean, like we would go there every 6 months, but, I mean, I couldn't tell you anything about the guy.
Yeah.
So I think, and particularly the way that dentistry has changed, you know, the person, it's the person that we want to relate to. So, you know, and there are ways to do that that are, you know, that you can feel comfortable with, and it might take a little bit of time to develop that. I totally understand because I've felt the same way. But, you know, starting to do what you feel comfortable with, and then, you know, you'll be brave enough to go to the next step.
Yeah. Yeah, cool. So, Makushala, people who work with content writers such as yourself, you know, they come and sometimes they're not quite sure how to work with a content writer. If there's people listening to this podcast, you know, what are the key things that they need to have in mind if they're going to work with a content writer? How do they come prepared? How do they get the most out of the experience? What do you need from them?
Well, I think there's a little bit of surrender that goes into it, Jesse. I don't want it to sound too crazy, but I actually think there's a little bit of surrender that's involved, because when I come to the dentist or I go to a dental specialist, I'm trusting that that person is going to look after me and take me on a bit of a journey. It's the same when you're working with, you know, someone who is going to be developing your content. At least that's my approach to it. So, you know, we take time to understand each other. I really want to understand what your needs are and where you want to go. And I feel that's the way that I can serve you best.
Yeah.
So it's the equivalent of you doing, you know, that initial comprehensive assessment and really, okay, finding where are you now, finding out where they are so that you can build from that platform. So I think also having in mind what you would like I call it a content wish list, and I think everybody has that, because and the start of a year is a good time to start thinking about that.
Yeah.
So, you know, what's been bubbling away in your head and you think, oh, I really want to do that, but I haven't done it yet. I really want to do it and I still haven't done it, you know, another year's passed. So having a bit of an idea about what that wish list looks like, and I think an honest appraisal of what you can do in terms of time and skill. That having those things. I also think something that's, you know, missing a lot is being able to provide a very clear brief. And, you know, I like to, when I start working with people and then you become a bit of a go-between, I like to prepare very clear briefs for people so that everyone's on the same page then. You're not confused about what's going on. I'm very clear about what my remit is. I know what I have to do. And then we've got something to come back to if, you know, things don't go right or it's not quite what you expected. It avoids disappointment and rework. Yeah. That's what I find. So I think having an idea, being prepared to spend that bit of time that's necessary to think, okay, what do I actually need to get out of this and what do I want people to do? What do I want this person to do for me?
Yeah. I think there's some absolutely, you know, really important points there. And just, ladies and gents, if you've just tuned in, we're talking about how to work with a content writer. And if you go to makushalacollins.com and head to the download sections, there's a really nifty report which is designed to support and to help you, you know, evolve your content and communication. So It's a great checklist. It's a step-by-step guide, and I'd really encourage you to get hold of that as well. So please do head across to McCushla's website and download that, because it's a really good resource, and it's going to give you lots of clarity about how to get the best out of your content. McCushla, with respect to conscious content, I know that's a phrase that you use routinely and regularly. Can you just help us understand a little bit of what the word what the phrase conscious content means versus just content?
So for me, we talked about that conveyor belt, and that's just producing stuff for the sake of producing it. And I know that we all feel that pressure today to do it. Like I feel it. Yeah. And I'm working in content. So it's really going through the process, which I've described and which we've been talking about, is taking the time to really reflect on what it is that you need. How do you want to communicate? In a way that's going to be very authentic to you and integrous, so that whatever you produce, you know, truly reflects who you are, but is also sharing that message. It's not just content for the sake of content, and it actually creates a connection. That's what we want. We want something that's going to create a connection and evolve your communication over time. And I really, having worked with a number of people, some of whom are your clients, I've watched them over, you know, what's close to nearly 4 years. I've watched them evolve over that time to become very, you know, articulate and confident in the way that they do this. And so I know that it works. So I think it's just being aware the same way that you would be around any other, you know, aspect of your life.
Yeah.
You know, like before we got on here, we were talking about, you know, the amount of time spent, you know, doing things that like watching Netflix that aren't that
productive,
fulfilling or reward, you know, like they, yes, we get something out of it, but it's for a time it's okay, but really it's not. It can become a mindless exercise. Yeah. And if we're going to produce content, we're going to spend time and money and get other people involved. Let's be really conscious about what we're doing and also what we're sharing, making sure that it's a meaningful message so that when it lands with your audience, it makes some sense to them.
Yeah, absolutely. Love it. McCushla, as we wrap up our conversation, I wanted to ask you the gospel according to McCushla.
My son, he'll tell you.
Yeah, I'm sure he will. Oh, that's another podcast episode. I wanted to ask you, though, if there were two or three things you think business owners really need to keep at the forefront of their mind as they think about their content, thinking about it consciously or with intention, as you've suggested, what are a couple of the things that they really need to be aware of?
Yeah, well, I think, taking the time, I think, and doing that upfront. So whilst it might take a bit more than what you might hope to spend, it will pay dividends down the track because somebody else who becomes involved can actually, do a lot of that work for you.
Yeah.
So taking the time, being very clear about what your most meaningful messages are for your audience, and it's going to be different things for everybody, but being very clear about those messages because they are like threads, they can get woven through everything. And, being clear about those things like your voice and your tone and the kind of language that you want to use because, again, that is the foundation for you being able to write or communicate but also for anybody else who's doing it for you.
Yeah, love that.
Have a bit of a plan. And it doesn't have to be, War and Peace. It just needs to be a page or, a whiteboard exercise. I do a lot of my stuff on the whiteboard and just, take a snapshot of it once it's done and stick it up on your wall. And then plan can be as simple as that, but just having a bit of a plan.
Yeah, absolutely. I always find that if you're going to create content, you want to know what you're creating before you sit down to create it. Staring at a blank page with no idea is no fun. I learned that lesson the hard way. McCushla, you've been incredibly generous with your time today. Your knowledge, your insights are really profound, and I thank you for that. If you want to find out more about where McCushla hangs out, head across to her website, mccushlacollins.com. Grab the downloads there. There's heaps of really cool resources there. I really commend them to you. McCushla is one of our trusted advisors. She works with our clients directly, and I can't speak highly enough of her. So, McCushla, thank you so much again for taking the time. Everything you shared there is so practical and useful, and it's really valuable. So thank you.
You're very welcome, Jesse, and it's been a pleasure, and I'm very grateful for the opportunity. Thank you.
Pleasure.
Thank you for listening to the Savvy Dentist podcast with Dr. Jesse Green. For more free tools and resources, join the free Facebook group. Visit drjessegreen.com/Facebook. And for more episodes, visit drjessegreen.com/savvydentist.